You are now tuned in to the Bleed Blue Show. Here are your hosts, Steve Blair and Chris Miles.
Edition of the Dugout New York Yankees podcast. New York Yankees Subway Series on the way. New York Yankees win last night, 6-1 over the New York Mets. The call-in number is always 929-477-4171. The call-in or even listening, bleedblueshow.com to stream the show live from your computer or your hellhand device. Bleedblueshow.com for all the archives. Bleed Blue Show, iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn. Christopher, what's up, brother? How you doing?
Oh man, why don't ask me what's up? Why don't you ask the boys in blue what's happening, man? That's what's going on. I know we are the Yankee podcast, but I really have to segue just for a second and give a hell of a lot of love to the New York Rangers for doing what they did last night in overtime with the winning their series. It was, as a diehard New York fan of all sports New York, it is something that makes you blossom and eat out and ooze out nothing but total love. and total love and admiration, man. It was just a wonderful friggin' night. They won 2-1, wrapping up this series with Pittsburgh Penguins. In overtime, that was very thrilling, too. Man, I tell you what, I am actually exhausted from that. I know I have to segue back to the subject at hand, which is also very nice, but I just had to plug it in real quick, Steve. Had to do that.
It would be the Bleed Blue Show if we did not mention our New York Rangers, Rangers Town. As
right.
Chris said, the New York Rangers are on to the second round of the NHL playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs of their 4-1. Series victory over the Pittsburgh Penguins, the overtime goal by Carl Hagelin. We didn't get into the rink last night because we were off, we were idle. But it would be a couple minutes on the Rangers because we have a lot of Yankees and Mets to look at from all angles. But for the Rangers, you're talking about a team effort. You're talking about a team victory. You got something from everybody in the series. Outside of that game two last Saturday at Madison Square Garden when they lost 4-3 and Crosby got a little loose. Outside of that, letting him get loose, we've been doing the ring
but
podcast.
That was even a good game.
They had a good game. Pittsburgh just beat them, and it happens. The Rangers still haven't even played their best potential, honestly. They haven't even peaked. That's the thing about this thing. They're winning, and they're not even getting their best. They just got a lot of contributions from the first line, the second line, the third line. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Zuccarello when he gets back, because he got hit in the puck. He got hit in the face with the puck last night, and how he's going to come back with Broussard and Nash. I don't know what that's going to happen in the timetable, but this is why you have to finish off the team like the Pittsburgh Penguins, who are struggling right now because of lack of defensemen. They injured up. You had to take them out of the fight. You could not prolong this series going to six or seven games. You had to get rid of them get rid of them immediately because right now, as you see in the other series with Montreal and Ottawa, Ottawa is giving the Canadiens hell right now. That's why they had to get rid of Pittsburgh as fast as they can. And you don't want to play around with a team as dangerous as Pittsburgh, as beat up as they are, you know?
And you know what? This is a lesson, too, because I believe I mean, you got to brush me up on hockey a little bit, but the Rangers rallied from 3-1 last year on the Penguins when they won the 7 games.
That was a little different. Chris, you know how you've been watching sports for a long time, decades. That series last year when the Rangers were down 3-1 to the Penguins, similar Penguins, different head coach, little bit of difference of personnel. For the most part, the same guys are there. Minus Chris Letang, Tanner Glass is on the Rangers.
They have Florio.
The 3-1 lead at that time with the Rangers. Oh, for the Penguins. It wasn't until Martin St. Louis' mother passed away. She passed away in Canada, and that's when the Rangers went on that run. Ever since it's something about that spirit, that sports spirit, where teams just rally around a player going through something. The Rangers didn't look back. They went as far as the Stanley, to the Stanley Cup Finals versus the Kings. But it really springboarded off that unfortunate, tragic event with St. Louis' mother. That's why the Rangers, they had to do what they – because you never know what could happen. Unfortunately, a timely death could happen somewhere in the Pittsburgh Penguins family. Something happens that gets Pittsburgh going. Mm-hmm. That's why you get rid of them as fast as you do. They did a great job on the Evgeny Malkin all series. I've never seen – they shut him down. But that's why you put $30 million into the defense with Dan Girardi, the captain Ryan McDonough. You got Keith Yandel from the Arizona Coyotes. You got Dan Boyle who came over from the Sharks after some guys left. Mark Stahl, you had to get him signed again. I mean, the Rangers put their money in the pockets of the defenseman because you got to go through the defenseman to even get the Lundqvist. And if Lundqvist is Lundqvist, Henrik Lundqvist is
Lundqvist.
And
I was going to mention him. I was going to mention the fact that Lundqvist was sensational again, dude.
Oh, yeah.
He, you know what? He is... I know he gets the credit. He gets credit, I should say. But I don't think he gets top-notch credit for how he performed in the playoffs the way he does. Am I wrong by saying that? Because I think he needs, he's been, to be playoff time, he's been lights out.
Yeah.
And, I'm not talking about just this playoff series. Last year he was freaking ridiculously unbelievable throughout the Stanley Cups. And I think it's about time that we give a lot of love to him. I walked around New York yesterday, and yes, I saw there's Rangers T-shirts, there's this, that, and I'm glad everybody's giving the love. But I don't see a lot of Lundqvist on back of people's jerseys right now. It's about time to change
that
up.
That's a shocker.
That is a shock. I don't think it's a diss. I think that's whatever Modell's and company has available at the time, and what's available for people's pockets. But hey, this is our man.
Yeah.
You always need a great goalie, and he showed up when it counts.
He's a franchise. It's coming from everywhere, whether it's Rick Nash, who's one of the leading scorers in the whole NHL. It's coming from everywhere, whether it's Mazzuro's craftiness. Even when St. Louis won the game at Pittsburgh, game four. It's coming from everywhere. Broussard, Stepan.
Those five saves that he made last night were in overtime were just, that's big time. That's gigantically, what's the word I'm trying to find? When you step, very enormous. Three of those suckers were going in, dude. but he's Lundqvist. I don't know, man. I'm out of words. I was so thrilled at what I saw last night with this team, and I'm so happy to be a New York. I've been hard on the Rangers. Yes, I have. And I've had certain allegiances with the other team that they may face this next round. I'll say that. I'm not going to really go crazy right now, but I'm very, very happy for what I saw last night and how it was electrifying the city of New York. That's me. I think it's just wonderful.
Yeah, and shout out to our guys on here on the Bleed Blue Show. Shout out to Bleed Blue Show Travis, who does our hockey with the New York Rangers. Shout out to him. He was excited last night. And also shout out to Nickelbacka Av, who's joined us for all of our shows and Power Nickelbacka Ave, and big New York Rangers fan and Yankees and Knicks and New York Football Giants as we are. And a shout out to Full Tilt NYR. He writes the articles for FullTilt.com for the New York Rangers, who's been on with us. He called it Rangers in five. We're on to the second round. Check out the Rink podcast and the archives. Be on next week for the second round for the New York Rangers. That's not the only team playing well in New York. There's two other teams, and there happen to be baseball teams, the Yankees and the Mets. Although we are New York Yankees based, we'll show a little respect to the Mets. But we are the Yankees, and the Yankees won last night. The Yankees won last night, 6-1. But it's bigger than that. It's more than that. Not just stopping the win streak for the Mets, Chris, but it's also about the Yankees' progress this whole week, the sweep versus Tampa, 3 out of 4 versus Detroit. What is your thoughts with the Yankees?
What are my thoughts about them?
Yes, sir.
This is one a lot. I'm going. This is okay. This Yankee fan getting ready to say this sentence, okay? Mm-hmm. I am very, very surprised it's going this good. I really, really am. I was under the impression initially that we would struggle on the mound. We'd have to take little tiny baby sits in the baby steps in the infield. I wasn't sure about the sheriff, Beltran, and definitely I wasn't sure about Drew. I didn't know what McCann was going to give us. And the biggest thing is I didn't know what A-Rod I was going to see. I'm more than pleased. I'm more than pleased. That team last night that stopped the New York Mets from getting to 12 straight, that was a dominant-looking. I know this is the first game of the three-game series. They looked like they have a little bit of a swagger to them. Michael Pineda, if that's what we're going to get every year, I mean, I'm sorry, every start, we're on our way somewhere. And I hope I'm not blowing this up too big.
Mm-hmm.
That was very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
That was a nice long outing. He's now undefeated. There's no pie tar anywhere.
I noticed he learned how to pitch in a cold.
That was a little bit of a concern. I don't know if you remember. We talked a lot of Giants. Gosh, I'm all over the place, Steve. Please excuse me. A lot of Yankee fans were talking about that last year early, that the guy can't pitch in cold weather. But he showed up last night in 46 degrees, and he shut them down. I'm just very, very impressed with him. I'm impressed with the team. We're 10-7, man, but look, that's an impressive 10-7. I thought by this time we'd be, I don't know, probably maybe 7, not even 7-10. I thought that our pitching wouldn't carry us at all, but it has. And we've also looked very impressive on the mound. We've had some surprises there, too, that I know you want to start off with. So, but it looked good. It looked good. I'm very, very happy right now, man. I'm in another space. If I have any disappointments, it's probably Beltran as we spoke.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, he's not doing it. He's not doing anything right now at all, man. At all. If he has 5 RBIs, I'm surprised at this point in the season through 17 games. I know he had elbow surgery and all of this kind of stuff. I don't know how that's affected him psychologically, but that's the only downfall. Other than that, I think we're moving in the right direction. This is where we're supposed to be, particularly after that sweep last week over Tampa Bay.
Yes.
So, and there's other things too. There's other things too. You know, Sheriff's hitting. You know, Ellsbury looks good. Drew, I thought was going to be a 220 hitter, you know?
Yeah.
That'll give us a few surprises, kind of Bucky Dennis.
Yeah, I know, right? Like the 2.0 version. I was thinking of that.
He's really showed up. And I don't want to say too much about how he showed up, because it's like the back of my mind, and it's ever since I was a kid with my Yankee glove, man. I had a Thurman Munson catching glove. And ever since then, I always thought that I said something wrong. And it still holds true today. If I said something wrong about the Yankees, I jinxed them. So I still have that in me. So I guess that's what Yankee fans do. But it looked great last night. We looked fantastic last night. You know, and the hot Mets came into our house, and we spanked them. The Sheriff really did.
You got to take it one game at a time, though, especially with a team as hot as the Mets.
And I'm pretty sure that our manager's thinking that very same way. Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, we're talking about Michael Pineda.
Oh.
7 2/3 innings last night. Is up to 3 wins, no losses on the season. I think the Yankees got to Jason DeGrom yesterday. Especially
they did.
Mark Teixeira with those two-run homers.
I know.
And I think Ellsbury had a blast last night also, from what I can remember. Now, Pineda,
yeah.
This goes back to the Tampa Bay series. He's pitching hella. When he almost gave us six innings, five Ks in the last game to complete the sweep versus Tampa Bay. In that game, Teixeira had an RBI double, and Heedley had a double that scored A-Rod. Pineda is getting the run support. He's definitely getting the run support, and he looks very comfortable. And as your second starter for the Yankees, because right now, and we'll get to Tanaka in a few, but let's start focus on Pineda because of basically what he did last night. Getting that jump start for the New York Yankees, that offense is slowly, slowly coming around a little bit. And I like what he did last night, especially with the changeup and the slider. His changeup and slider last night, getting those Mets out, it looks spectacular. And he looks very comfortable ever since the issue with at Fenway last year, as you mentioned, with the pine tar. But I'm liking what I'm seeing out of our number two starter right now. Matter of fact, I'm liking what I see out of everybody this week. All of them, whether they got wins
or not. Well, Brian McCann, who doesn't talk very much, he did say last night after the game that it very, very, very slow. I mean, he just looked at the camera and said, Pineda, he said, he's dominant right now. And he should know because he's the one calling the balls and strikes and placing the ball right where Pineda needs to place it. And, man, if he says that, then we may be into something. We may be onto something a lot. I think also, you know, the one thing about pitchers, you know, of course there's a rotation as you alluded to. And when the last pitcher performed admirably, the next one will come around and he wants to perform just as well. And so if Pineda's performance is any indication of where we should be on the mound, that's a hell of a great sign for us this year. I know it's one game at a time, but Steve, I like what they're doing. I've been surprising everyone. I think they're surprising themselves. And it's an unfinished product, like I alluded to earlier. Beltran still has to get it together. You know, we have
they have to fix that, though. They have to fix that. That has to
– They
got to do that.
Right.
Like right now. If you want to continue to spring on wins, because there's going to be a point in the game where we're going to need to rely on – someone in that batting spot to deliver, and him being right now at six, you need to get some sort of production there. I mean, I think that is kind of one of the missing pieces right now in this current week, this past week, is getting him involved, getting him, even if it is like a sacrifice fly, get him something, get going, fielder's choice, give him something, get as far as productivity. But you're right, Chris. I mean, how could you not be not happy with the Yankees' progress this week? You went and swept Tampa. You took 3 out of 4 in Detroit. And when we discussed about this in the early season, we wanted to be somewhere around Memorial Day to be around that 500 mark. And I think the Yankees, if they get the pitching like they have, they will be over. They'll be at 500. They'll be fine for the rest of the season. This is the toughest part of the schedule, was between opening day and Memorial Day.
Yep.
This was the toughest
part. You know, Steve, right, and when we started having the Yankee podcast during spring training, I don't have the notes in front of me, but I know we had a very long injury list with a lot of pitching, in regards to a lot of pitching. And right now, off the top of my head, and I want you to correct me if I'm wrong, Nova is probably the last one left that needs to be basically quote-unquote healed. Am I right?
Because when he gets back, yeah, you're right, correct. Now, that's going to be let's add him to the mix. Let's add him to the mix for a minute.
Okay.
For a minute. You would think when he gets back, not even gets back, but let's put him through the minor leagues, throw him to AAA and get his arm ready and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think you give him some bullpen sessions, you get him warmed up, you get him, you want to test his durability. Because the Yankees, it's about durability with this team. You know that these guys could pitch, but you don't know their durability, because Tanaka hasn't pitched the full season in the major league, any major league season.
Right.
So we don't know his durability yet.
CeCe
Sabathia, he's coming off an injury last year. We know that.
And
then we want Pineda to be the effective number two that he could possibly be. Now, as far as Nova, when he gets back, I don't think they're going to tire his arm out per se, with his, because he uses that four seam fastball. He's a curveball type of pitcher. And then he also throws that sinker. So getting those pitches, those type of pitches to get his arm loose the way he throws at that angle that he likes to. I think it's him coming out of the bullpen per se that's where they're going to start. I mean, are you going to start him and throw Warren back into the bullpen? I mean, that's pretty much it's either one of those two things right now for the current roster, you know, with those starters.
I'm thinking that Giraldi's really giving credit to the six-man rotation thing with that. You know, it kind of lays into what you just said. Evaldi's not ready to be sat down. Neither is Warren. Not yet.
And Warren pitched well in Detroit.
That's what I'm saying. So you got to bring Nova in somewhere, but you also – Is your bullpen already set though? See, I don't know what's going on there yet. I don't really know if we actually. I know what their roles are supposed to be. The finished product. Are we going to roll from here on in? With I don't know what they're going to do with Shreve, who's also coming up a little bit. He's in the. I think that's the way he says it. Shreve. Is that his name? Jason Shreve. I really like the way he's doing things. You know, you got to look at him. You know, you got to give him a bigger role. Does that mean he has to step back? If you're going to put Nova in the bullpen? I don't know. I don't know what's going on. So,
I think you would have to. Not permanently, but you start him off there. You start him off in the bullpen. Why wouldn't you?
Okay.
I mean, you had a guy. I know it's one game, but you got to let these guys get into their groove, especially as cold it was in Detroit. It was flurrying out there earlier this week.
Oh yeah,
it was flurrying.
That's right.
You know, so yes, you have to have Warren outpitch the David Price. Why would you?
He did.
He outpitched David Effing Price.
He sure
why would
did.
You?
I was surprised.
You gotta
gotta
ride on that confidence. That's a confidence builder. The fifth starter, and I've outpitched a Cy Young candidate in David Price, the high-paid former Tampa Bay Ray David Price. You gotta let him pitch. You gotta let Nova's gotta come on. You gotta throw him in the bullpen, and that makes the bullpen even stronger.
That's right. So now all of a sudden we have a nice problem.
It's a great problem. Do you
yeah,
want?
Because we got all these people. It's
two ways to look at it. You're right. We did discuss that about six starters. That's a possibility.
Right.
It could. I don't know. That's a good question.
Let's see today.
I'm fine with five. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, because somebody that had knee surgery that last year and only eight starts last year, that somebody you know very well,
yeah,
he pitches today.
Yes, he does.
And I am very curious as to what the entire world is. This is a big game for him, believe it or not. This is because you get a good look at what CC's got to bring to the table now. Okay? I mean, he had a great look. The loss to Detroit, I thought he looked great.
That was a great game.
Great game.
You know how it is.
Really
you know how it works, Chris. You know how it works with baseball. Sometimes you're going to get into these pitching duels, and he pitched absolutely fantastic in Detroit. He only gave up two earned runs. He pitched eight full.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, he pitched more innings than all the other guys. He just ain't getting the
he
run
sure,
support.
Yes, he did. That's his thing. Some guys have that. You can't really. Some guys don't need to be pitch counted, okay? They just need to be watched. And Sebastian's like that. If this pitch count thing was around when, say, Steve Carlton and Tom Seaborg was around then, they would never be Hall of Famers. So guys can't. See, he's one of those guys you just gotta let him pitch. Let him get into his groove. He's always gonna have one bad inning. It's makeup. It's trademark. He's always going to have that one inning where he gives up a double and maybe a home run. He settles into a groove where you almost it's so effortlessly you forget that the Yankees are leading or they're losing. And we need that again. We really need that again. And he hasn't had a win in a year.
Yes.
And we need to see what's going to happen today. That's where I'm at. I know where I'm jumping the gun a little bit because we got some more show here, but that's what I'm wanting. And it's going to be difficult too because the Mets are still high. them a little credit.
Oh,
and
yeah,
Matt
absolutely.
Harvey.
They have a lot
and
of
Matt Harvey pitching for them.
I know.
And
there's something
you talk
about
him.
Go ahead, finish your point. I got something about that.
No. You talk about somebody that has successful Tommy John surgery like Dovis has had. That's a right there is a perfect example. You know, he looks great, man. And he's also an April pitcher. He's one of those, what I call a front runner. He's one of those April pitchers that come out. He probably has a damn 1.5 ERA, man. And he probably never, and I don't think he ever lost in April. So you got that kind of exuberance on the other side of you that you're opposing today. So, man, this is going to be a big one today. And I'm going to be laser pitching. I got to see the entire thing. You know, it's just like everyone else. I know right now for all baseball fans in New York, this is a great, great, great series to have this time of the year. It's cold, yes, but at the same time, it's intriguing. You got two hot teams. You got some great pitching. You got some really, really good action happening. And this, when you have a three-game homestand, the second game is always the telltale one. So here we go with our two top-notch pitchers on the mound going against each other, trying, and whoever's the victor here, it's probably going to be put on a pedestal by the media from there on. Watch what happens. If CC comes out there and he has another game like he did against Detroit the other night, then Yankee fans are just going to explode. You know, if Harvey has a great game, the Mets fans will go into a further frenzy like they are right now. You know, so we'll see what happens. This is going to be really good.
Let me get to the fan tweets, messages, and email to the Bleed Blue Show on social media and also on BleedBlueShow.com. Shout out the Yankees all day, sending in his messages. Great win, great performance by Pineda, slowing down the Mets. Let's take two out of three minimum. Shout outs to the Bronx Pinstriper, great confidence booster, taking three out of four in Detroit. And Tanaka is getting into his stride. Now, we also got to shout out the Mets fan. He's the champion of the fantasy basketball Bleed Blue Show. Shout out to Celtic Bully, who's also a Mets, New York Football Giants fan and also a Mr. Met himself. He's more focused on today's performance. He says Matt Harvey will be fired up. He has the intensity. He will still be down 2 to 3 miles per hour off his fastball. I think he has a sprained ankle and the push off his leg. But we should kill CC today. He said he's going to kill CC. and I won't even want him to get that loss out of his system in Atlanta earlier in the year. So there's a lot of comments now. CC Sabathia, he pitched well versus that matchup versus Simon in Detroit early this week. Now, and this is go back to Kenny's point. Shout out to Kenny, who was not able to be on the show today, but he had his thoughts as far as earlier in the week, especially how he figured he forecasted the Yankees' offense is going to be tested today. As much as the runs the Yankees have put this week, this is a test, Chris. Saturday afternoon at the stadium versus the Mets with Harvey on the mound. The Yankees offense will be tested. Not only tested versus an ace like Harvey, but also can we see some run support for CC for once this year? Can we?
And they're surprised there too. Look who they're playing. You don't want to lose this game. You know, people overlook that part. You know, especially us transplaced tri-state warriors, sports New York warriors like you and myself, we forget that there's a lot of pride there, too. The Mets don't want to lose to the Yankees anymore than vice versa. And that plays into this really, really big. It doesn't get talked about, but it's huge, you know. And it could be argued that, yes, it would have been, you know, more emphasis put on if Jeter or Andy was still here or something like that. But those guys are gone. This is a new era, and it's a new age, you know. There's a lot of Mets fans that don't want to see Beltran succeed at all. You know, there's a lot of Yankee fans that want Harvey shut down and beat up like they did McGroom yesterday, because they feel that, you know, whatever is meant just cannot, it can't, it's artificial. If you're a Yankee, for life, you don't have any love for that team over there in Queens. You really don't. So, you really don't. Let's be honest. So, that's what's happening. But, so that plays into it, too. This is going, like I said, Steve, this is going to be a very, very interesting game. This is probably going to telltale more so far in the early season about where we stand than any other. CeCe's important. CeCe's a money pitcher. CeCe's track record is proven. He's a Cy Young winner. He's a beast, you know. And I know he tried really, really hard to come back from that injury. And he also is very aware of the circumstances with this game today against another top-notch pitcher, against the New York Mets at the stadium with the fans. They know against a good team. You know, I mean, entering Friday, you know, Mets had the best record in baseball. And the Yankees scored the second most runs. You know, I know it's early, but these are two big, big teams here. Mm-hmm. He knows what's on stage. He knows what's happening. So this is where I get the CC test, and so does everybody, all the other 80 million New York baseball fans, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, in my world, to segue out a little, just a tiny bit for just about 20 seconds, the TV world, you know, the SNY channel that televises the Mets games, they're closing in on the Yankees ratings, which means, you know, we legitimately – are coming back to getting a Giants Dodgers situation that we had in the mid-50s, mm-hmm. you know, in New York. And when you have two great teams going at it. And so the fanship is going to be divided, and there's also going to be a lot of presence there. So it's very, very important that the Yankees win this game. Okay? That does it look like it? Does it seem like it? If you're a stat geek or whatever, but it is important in terms of pride and New York fame and New York baseball bragging rights. So, yeah, it's important. It's important.
There were some things from the game I saw yesterday. If you watched the game on the television, there was a lot of empty seats. I know it was cold at the stadium last night. There was a lot of empty seats,
yeah.
Even for two teams for the first time in the Subway Series, both in first place. I'm actually shocked to hear that. I thought that would have been at least more than once.
No, that's not totally on the – there's some things that are going on up there that probably precluded the game from being a sellout. But that's – you know, that's a little bit different, okay? I don't think – look, there's other things happening. You know, the league has a conversion with Matt Harvey. As the dominant New York pitcher right now. You know, Mets hats are everywhere, just like Rangers jerseys are everywhere right now. You know,
yeah.
It's just a different presence. So, trust me, today there won't be any empty seats.
No, I don't think
last
so. Yeah, I don't know. No, but you know what? I got to be honest, though. I have to be honest, and I have to show love where I have to show love. Although we are the New York Yankees, and we rep the New York Yankees 100%, I have to even shout out the Mets fans who were at that game last night. They were loud last night. They were
extremely loud.
They were in that upper that left upper deck. I think they called it the seventh train section or something like that. And it was a whole bunch of them.
Yes.
Orange T-shirts repping the Mets. I have to respect that. You come into the Yankee house like the way you did, and let's go Mets. It seemed like the whole half of the game until they got to DeGrom. Mm-hmm. They shut up after those two home runs by Teixeira.
Oh, yeah, they did.
They shut up after that. They got that ass on the 4 or 5 train and left. They shut up after that. But outside of that, they just show up in their numbers and wore their colors. Shout out to the Mets fans out there last night. We'll give props when we give props.
Yes, we will. I love the Yankees though. I'm a Yankee fan from way back. I'm a Yankee fan from Phil Rizzuto, man. And I'm pretty sure that the Saturday game of a 3-game homestand is the most important that you can have for this team. It's very important. It's very important to have Yankee Stadium lit up on Saturday. And CeCe, back to what you were saying before, Steve, CeCe's performance, it has to be paramount today. He doesn't have to throw a no-hitter, but if he shows up for seven innings, gives up, I don't know, maybe four hits, you know, maybe one earned run, that would be admirable. That's admirable. Very admirable. Because the Yankees' offense is enough to carry him through. I think they could. But he has to shut the Mets down. Equally as hot.
Now, the Yanks last week, they got to Tampa Bay's ace, Jake Odorizzi. The Yankees got to David Price earlier in the week. What are the chances, in your estimation, Chris, as far as the Yankees having any type of success versus the Bulldog, Harvey, this week? I'll be today, at Saturday afternoon. With the Yankees going against the aces earlier this year, what chance do you give them as far as getting to Harvey, who's a dominant pitcher as he is for the Mets?
Given the success thus far, I say 85%. It's a clubhouse.
How many runs do you think they have to get on?
They have to get three runs on Harvey. They have to. I don't care how they do it. I know it is. But see, if CeCe gives up two earned runs again, CeCe can't have any more games like the Detroit game where he pitched fantastically and they only scored one run for him. You got to come out, because that's going to later on give him kind of, I don't want to say a diminished complex, but I want to say that your face gets tested when your team doesn't score for you like that, you know? And CeCe's been on the stage a long time. This isn't the first big game nor big pitcher he's ever come across, okay? He demands run support, even now, you know? He demands run support. He needs at least 2 to 3 runs. Now, Harvey, on the other hand, is on fire, you know? As we speak, you know, I think that Elvery, Teixeira, McCann, and definitely, A-Rod to get him hell. You know? I mean, I'm not saying, look, Harvey's a bad boy, man, but he's not infallible. Especially when the Yankees are playing right now with high confidence. I know the Mets have high confidence, but the Yankees are playing with that, too. You know, they're outdoing themselves. You know, they have a winning record in April, as we spoke about earlier. And they have just as much confidence. And given what you had alluded to earlier, their success against aces so far this year, I don't see no reason why that shouldn't continue, especially with a CeCe on the mound like this. So, yes, they're going to go after him. They'll probably lay real late. They'll probably swing late on every Harvey pitch because that's the only way you can get to him. You know, but I would say, to answer your question, you know, a good 70%, actually. You know, they got a 70% chance of beating him because they've already kind of did this kind of craft. You know what I mean? Beating him like they do.
I want the Yankees to continue, whether they win or lose today, and even if it's even a blowout, even if the Yankees get destroyed today, whatever it happens to be, this is the thing about what we say here on the Bleep Blue Show, the Yankees Dugout, the podcast, where the Yankees, you still have to win series. Now, even let's say they lose today, whether Harvey gets the win or somebody in the bullpen gets a win in relief, you look at the Sunday matchup, and the probable starter is going to be Jonathan Neese versus Nathan Eovaldi. As Eovaldi has pitched very well also, and Jonathan Neese is undefeated too. He's 2-0, and his ERA is under 2, at 1.5. And you got to get the one of two of them. You got to get the one or the other. If you get a sweep, that's great. That's a little high. That's even a little bit of more of a higher expectation than I'm even asking for the Yankees. Just get one or two.
Steve, what was that with Jonathan Neese last year? I mean, last night getting ejected, man.
Jonathan Neese got ejected.
Yeah, in the sixth round. I think I'm on another sport already. No. he was shouting that the umpire threw his ass out.
Really?
I don't know what happened.
Honestly, that was under my radar. I didn't even know.
He was saying something. he was saying, he yelled something at the plate umpire, and the plate umpire said, get the hell out. And I don't know. Okay, well, somebody will tweet. Whoever's out there in Twitterville, please let me know what the hell that was about.
Okay.
But, yeah. But no. Yeah, and Nice, it's like you just alluded to it. Nice is looking very, very good.
Oh, hell yeah, he's looking good. Nice looks real good.
I know, and see, you know, I mean, what's that? I think he had, what did he have? I'm trying to remember. I did watch his last outing. He gave up like 4 hits in 7 innings, but they were little bloopers. He's looking good. He's undefeated so far. He's 2-0, but it's early. But, hey, you know, we have a lot to worry about. But, see, the Yankees are going to have to face this kind of thing all year long. You know, their division is full of great pitching, you know? To answer your earlier question, man, you know, this should not be daunting to them, facing Matt Harvey. And they've already proved that they could beat Ace. So let's see what happens from here. I think it's going to be good.
I got some things I got to throw at you. Before we move on, I got to say this one last thing about CeCe Sabathia and even his pitching, where he's been pretty very well, although he's not been getting the run support, especially the Detroit game earlier this week when him and Simon were going up against each other. I really thought, especially with CeCe, and we know we were concerned with his knee, I thought his slider, well, it was really a cutter, I don't know, his cutter, slider, whatever you want to call it, and his changeup has been looking very, very good. Very, very good. Those are his arsenal of his pitches. Those two pitches in particular, I'm not really worried about his fastball, and not necessarily if he wants to use that four seamer, but it's really the slider and the cutter and that changeup. Those two pitches, those two and a half, three pitches, however you want to look at it, his arsenal, that control, what he's doing in the last couple of starts, it's been very, very good. And I would like this. That's the thing I'm going to keep an eye out on versus a team, the Mets, who can hit for average. They're very patient hitters. They can hit on all parts of the park best part of the season, whether they can go opposite field. I want to see his pitch selection, his control versus the Mets' patience at the plate today. Not even – and then on the flip side, it's going to be the other side too, the Yankees hitting – their patience versus what Harvey brings to the table. You know, Harvey is a fastball, slider, curveball, changeup guy too. I mean, he has an all arsenal too. It's a two-way street, and that's what's going to make this game interesting today. Those two pitchers, their arsenal versus the Yankees Mets patience. I think the Mets have more patience than the Yankees. Although the Yankees have hit well, put up runs, Chris, I think the Yankees have to, and they're starting to come around a little bit. They have shown progress in, let's say, the last week and a half. They got to hit better for average. I see Ellsbury, and especially the top of the order, Ellsbury and Gardner, their averages have starting to be around that 300 mark the way I want it to be, you know?
Who has CC got to worry about besides Goddard, Grandison, and possibly maybe Daniel Murphy?
No way. Daniel Murphy?
Yeah, Murphy's playing second for the Mets.
Since when? I don't remember that. I'm talking about, well, I look at Duda.
No, I mean, I guess my question is, what does CeCe have to worry about today? Who does CeCe have to worry about facing?
I think CeCe Moore has to worry about himself. I'm not worried about...
Exactly. Thank you.
CeCe needs to pitch his game. I think when you look at the Mets... They're a team... I think the strength of their team, I'm not worried about Murphy. Murphy, he's like, he has Stephen Drew numbers. He's like their version of Stephen Drew.
That's what I'm saying. Who does he have to really worry about?
The guy like their first baseman is a Duda. Duda, something like that. But the pitching is the strength of that team. The hitting isn't going to overwhelm me, but if you're talking about a guy who hits for average, you're talking about a guy like Duda. I'm not really worried about Daniel Murphy or Kadai. He's not none of the guys really hits for average. We know about Curtis Granderson, former Yankee. He's not going to hit for average. I think it's more if CeCe is CeCe, and Matt Harvey is Matt Harvey. I think the bullpen is going to be down to the bullpens after that. Because you would expect, like you said, if CC and Harvey could give you strong seven, and we've seen CC give us some outings earlier in the year where he looked flat in like some innings. He'll go through the first three or six or whatever, and then he'll implode. I don't want to see that. I hope we don't have to see that. But as far as I think he has to worry about more himself than versus what the Mets bats are going to bring to the plate today. I really don't think. I'm not really too worried about them because they're kind of beat up anyway. They're pitching. You just got to get to their pitching. You get to their pitching, you beat the Mets.
Right. Okay.
Well, here's a question for you, Chris. And we wouldn't be the Bleed Blue Show without talking about the fan perspective. You know I got to ask you because you're Mr. New York. You're Mr.
Oh, boy.
The Pope of the fan base.
He goes with
now,
that.
we may need to do a future podcast outside of our dugout podcast to do this, but my question to you, Chris, what are the similarities and differences between a Yankee fan and a Mets fan, meaning personalities, characteristics?
Oh, boy.
Most of the Yankee fans live in the Bronx and most of the Mets fans live in Queens. I mean, we get the regional aspect, and that's not even necessarily true because you're a Queens guy, but you're a Yankee fan guy. But that's the exception to the rule. But if you had as far as personality, characteristics, the way they think, act, what makes up what's the characteristics and similarities and differences between a Yankee and Met fan? Just your thoughts over the years, whether it's from 20, 30 years ago up into today.
Oh, well, that's easy to track. Okay. The perception of a Yankee fan is clean cut, Wall Street, pinstripe suit, executive, corporation type guy. The perception of a Met fan is lunch pail, take the subway, construction driver, short order cook kind of guy. Okay? And that's left over from when in the 50s we lost two National League teams at one time. At one time. The Giants and the Dodgers. They both moved to California, and those fans were the people I just mentioned. You're short on the cooks, you truck drivers, firemen kind of guys. And we didn't have a National League team for about 5-6 years. Now, no one watched the Yankees. Nobody wanted to deal with that because the Yankees were establishment, quote unquote, and they were winning every year. They didn't want to watch American League baseball. This is the years before Twitter. This is the years before cable. This is years before, your big-time stadiums and all of this kind of stuff. So when the Mets came around, it didn't matter how bad they lost. That was your National League team that represented the labor people, okay? And that's why if you look at the Mets hats, you'll notice the logo is a combination of the Giants and Dodgers. Look for the Dodgers colors and the Giants NY logo. Because they remember that. That perception is still holding true as we speak right now. You know, there is not very many people in Long Island and Queens that can identify with the Yankees. They don't care about that polished look, if you will.
Mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the Yankee fans have always looked at the Mets like, oh, those little guys, they're cute. But, we're the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
So throughout the years, an animosity has developed very, very hard. It's the same animosity that the Rangers and Islanders have, by the way. So then, so now what you got now, if you have...
Giants and Jets?
I don't think that really counts, but that's another story. We have to talk
okay,
about
fair, fair, okay.
So
my bad. Go ahead.
No. So a Yankee fan doesn't really think of the Mets as being a real threat. Never has. But the Mets.
Well, why is that,
always,
though? Why is that? Why is that, in your opinion?
Because way before we were born, before our father was watching the games, it seemed like the Yankees were a corporate entity. You know, from Babe Ruth to. But always that. From Babe Ruth to Lou Gehrig to DiMaggio to Berra. To Mantle, to Elston Howard, and then it was that long lull to Bobby Mercer, to Thurman Munson, to Reggie Jackson, to Craig Nettles, to Dave Winfield. Then they moved along with Don Mattingly and Roberto Kelly. Then we got that brand new era in 96 with the four great ones. And we've never really looked at anybody, we being Yankee fans, never really looked at anybody in New York challenging us at all. There's an air of superiority there. You know, when you're a Yankee fan, that's what it is. And if the Mets happen to be in New York, they're going to really get it because they happen to be the other baseball, other, emphasis on other with quotation marks on it, other baseball team that, that happens to be major league in the city. So they look down on them. Let's face it, the Yankee fans have looked down on the Mets fans for years. There's no total respect there. There might have to be this year, but there's never been total respect there. You know, and the Mets fans know it. You know, if you're a shoeshine guy, and you know, and you have a bunch of Wall Street executives always looking down at you. After a while, you may take some money, but you don't reach the pillars because they don't look at you as an equal. One day, you get your own shoes polished right next to that guy, and then even then, he's gonna look at you and say, okay. He's my equal, or he's on the same standing as I have been because I've been here forever. That's what it's like with the Yankees and the Mets. The Mets have always fought for being to be looked at with equality in the city of New York, but they'll never get it. And I'm gonna tell you how you can track it. Look at the New York Post and look at the New York Daily News.
Mm-hmm.
Watch how they report. The Post loves the Mets. They can't stand the Yankees. They still drag A-Rod through the dirt, left and right. Who's eating popcorn with it? The Super Bowl to this Balco thing and this and that. And the other paper won't do that. Where there's a civil war there that only gets realized every now and then when both teams are doing well. The Yankees weren't that good in '86 when the Mets were running things, you know. But now we got a chance to have two really good playoff situations. You know, 2000 was awkward, too. That was very awkward. The Mets were superiority, but, you know, look what they got. They got the Yankee team that was in the thrust of a dynasty. So that also hurt. And people remember that, and that's pre 9/11, you know.
Yeah.
So now we got a chance to do this again. And so these games mean a lot. Believe me, the Mets fans are smarting from last night. They do not want to smart today. And they will be out there in full tow at Yankee Stadium today. Everybody with a Matt Harvey jersey on, loud as hell, telling every New Yorker that it was possibly in earshot for miles and miles and miles how great they are. And the Yankee fans are going to retaliate by saying, we'll see, just wait. You know, it's the normal thing. We all got two rings, we got 27 type of thing, you know. It's the same thing every year. So I don't know. It's a civil war that this year will really get entertaining because both teams are good. And yes, it's only April.
Yeah,
I think it's going to keep on going.
I think you say a lot of how I actually feel as a Yankee fan, as a Bleed Blue show or Bleed Blue Yankee fan, period. Like, as a Yankee fan, it's kind of like I never really thought as a Mets fan as a threat, especially – they never really have done this inter-league series it's been like almost 20 years now. Time flies.
Yeah, something like that.
But before that, it was kind of more of like the Yankees were on one island and the Mets were on one island. And then ever since the inter-league stuff has started to develop, let's say in the 90s, that's when the talk and stuff started to be more and more. Because it seemed like it was more separate because AL was always going against the AL and NL versus the NL, and they only faced each other whether it was in the World Series or the All-Star Game, which the All-Star Game has lost luster because of interleague play. That used to be the best All-Star Game, AL versus NL, in any sport. I don't care if it was the NBA, I don't care if it was NHL or you know, the football, they don't even play. They're just there. They're showing up for a check. But when you're talking about a competitive All-Star game, it was nothing better in this heyday than the AL versus NL because those leagues wanted to beat each other. You see a Mets pitcher go up against a Yankee batter or vice versa, these guys they had pride. They played for pride. And I miss that aspect. I wish they kind of slowly go away versus for interleague. But I understand why they did it at the time 20 years ago because the sales were down. Outside of the juice and guys hitting a million home runs, they needed to get fans in the seats. There's no better way to get fans in the season versus interleague play. So I understand that. But I feel your sentiments as far as a Yankee fan. Because as a Yankee fan, our natural rival is the Red Sox. Let's be honest. That's who we
know. Of course.
Dislike the most. The Mets fan, honestly, I didn't really have heard smack talk from a Mets fan since the 2000 World Series. That Subway Series, the World Series. The one with Clemens threw the bat at Piazza.
Yep.
Since then, I haven't really heard smack talk at a high rate from a Met fan in 15 years. And it's no disrespect. I'm just being honest. It's just the mentality. I agree. You're right. I think it's more clear, clean cut for the Yankee fan. The Met fan is more blue collar. It's white collar, blue collar kind of deal. I think that's where you're for the most part. Let me ask you this.
Right.
Who's more loyal? Is a Mets fan more loyal than a Yankee fan, or is it the other way around?
It's not even a difference. They're both loyal. They're both loyal.
We gotta be one more.
No. I'm gonna tell you who's not loyal. A Jets fan is not loyal. That's another sport.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
With the Mets, their fans are due. And like I said, there's a. If you have the, if you're a Yankee fan, if you're a diehard Yankee fan, if you've had, especially if you're like 50 or older, like me, I'm 55. And so I started watching the Yankees when Mickey Mantle was old. So in a dark Channel 11 WPIX show, games on Saturdays. And I was watching them when our second baseman, I can't remember his name now. I can't believe I'm having this problem. But, you know, back when the Yankees just were on the decline, there were a lot. They didn't sell out a lot in 68, 69. But one thing for sure, the old fans that always loved them, that were well-to-do and had moved out to the island or probably upstate, they were there loyally all the time.
Okay.
They had not forgotten the old days. The Mets fans are loyal, too, but probably it's different with the Mets. With the Mets fans, the old Giants and Dodgers fans are Mets fans.
Yes,
they passed it all down.
Right.
They passed it down for years and years and years. So it's tradition. So you have all of Long Island, all of Queens, and a lot of Brooklyn who are diehard Mets fans.
Mm-hmm,
there are
mm-hmm.
Brooklyn fans. There are Brooklyn people who cannot stand anybody from Manhattan, and that includes it because they perceive Yankees as Wall Street. So they never go out that way. You're talking, we're talking blue-collar folks, you know, your bus drivers and such. They don't, the teachers and everything, they don't want anything to do with the Yankees. They don't like the Yankees. They don't like the pinstripes. They don't like the persona. They don't like the clean-shavenness. They couldn't stand the Steinbrenner family. They don't like the Bronx. There's nothing about that team they love. They respect and love Jeter also because he was a different brand of Yankee, but are they going to cheer for him to win? Probably not. Same thing, Mo Rivera belongs in that category, too, in that box that I just mentioned. You know, but no, a Mets fan, I got to give them their love. They have never given up on this team, year in, year out. You'll notice that the Mets, even in their darkest days, always finish number 3 or 4 in attendance. Why? Because that is Queens' team. That is their team. When O'Malley took the Dodgers out of here, that crushed that city. Crushed New York. Oh, my God. It crushed them. So when they got a hold of the Mets again, Casey Stengel, they embraced them and they haven't let go. And it's been over 50 years now. So
yeah, we got about 30 seconds, Chris. Give us your final thoughts with the Yankees and all of our teams real quick, and then we'll go on from there.
And for all the love I just said for the Yankees, I hope they got dirt loose today. I hope Matt Harvey gets shelled for 15 runs. Thank you very much. That's my thought.
Now, I know you're excited for our Sunday 6 p.m. for our New York Football Giants NFL draft. I can't wait to discuss that tomorrow, Sunday evening.
Oh, man, we're going to have a blast. Bleed blue. Come on inside. Come on in. We're going to talk tomorrow. We got something going on.
And once again, congratulations to our New York Rangers. And Chris, I know we were right about the Spurs on the NBA playoffs. It's a great time to be watching sports right now. BleedBlueShow.com. BleedBlueShow.com. Chris, Steve, the Podcast Republic, tune in, iTunes, Bleed Blue.
Bleed Blue, baby.
Bleed blue, 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 bleed blue.